Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
So, large and sealed versus small and open. Scrolls? I don't think Primasius is off base in seeing this as the Old and the New Testaments.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, in our previous study, we heard about the voice from the altar, which demanded that the four angels bound at the Euphrates be turned loose. They had been prepared just for that right time, and so they sweep loose at the head of a vast army described in terms that are truly nightmarish. This army wipes out a third of humanity. The fathers all took this to be a reference to an army of heresy that would sweep out from that general area. Gerhard, the Lutheran teacher of the 1600s, saw in it a prophecy of the arrival of Islam on the scene, which did indeed sweep out from that general area and proceeded to subdue with its soul-destroying teachings vast swaths of formerly Christian territories. The description of the horses of this army makes it clear where they come from. Lion's head, serpent's tails, killing with the smoke, sulfur, and fire they spew from their mouths. And yet, even in the face of this onslaught, some will not turn from their false gods, the demons they worship, to seek mercy from the true and living God, the Father, the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit. Moving further, a reading from Revelation, the 10th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud, with a rainbow over his head. And his face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. He had a little scroll open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land, and he called out with a loud voice like a lion roaring. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." Revelation 10, verses 1 through 4. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you've caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, you ready to think about what's up with this next little bit in Revelation? Let's dig into it. Verse 1, then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. First, let's note that we're in another weird dream shift or interlude. We were on pins and needles waiting to hear about the seventh trumpet, right? We'd stopped at that ominous number 6. Now, St. John's going to get back to the seventh trumpet, but not till the middle of the next chapter. Meanwhile, he records this vision. The angel is called Mighty. The Greek word here is the same used in the Trisagion of the liturgy, where the church prays to the Holy Trinity, "Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy upon us." We might want to take that as a hint that here, yet again, we encounter the Lord Jesus under the title of angel or messenger. Don't forget, this is Old Testament usage, as you can read in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The word messenger is the Hebrew for angel, which is what that word means, indicating not so much a kind of being as a particular office. So a mighty messenger coming down from heaven, cloud-wrapped, and yet with the rainbow around his head as the sign of divine mercy. Think Noah. And with a face shining like the sun. Matthew 17:2 maybe. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. The legs, like pillars of fire, recall the initial vision of St. John in Revelation 1:15. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. Gerhard, in his commentary, argues rather than taking this angel to refer to some created being, it's better interpreted as Christ. St. Augustine, the North African father from the 4th and 5th centuries, says, he's covered with the cloud of the flesh, not in order to obscure the light of the sun, but in order to temper its brilliance. As my teacher, Dr. Brighton, notes in his book, Revelation, this would be the only place in all the scripture where anyone but God is described as wrapped in a cloud. I think taking all these indications together, we do well to run with Gerhard here and see this to be another vision of the Lord Jesus, the true messenger who came from heaven. For that matter, we can also run with Primasius in the 6th century, who said of this, he sees the Lord Christ coming down from heaven, dressed in a cloud. Verse 2, he had a little scroll open in his hand. Note now that unlike the scroll that was sealed up, this scroll is open. And the fact that it is called little probably refers by way of contrast to the sealed scroll that the Lamb opened by breaking the 7 seals, hence a larger scroll. So, large and sealed versus small and open. Scrolls? I don't think Primasius is off base in seeing this as the Old and the New Testaments. If earlier the deep secrets of the Old Testament were recognized to have been hidden in the sealed book, it is appropriate that the revealed grace of the New Testament is believed to be disclosed here in the opened book. And of course, the New Testament is smaller than the sealed-up Old Testament, whose inner meaning can only be disclosed by the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 continues, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. I can't get the image of the Colossus of Rhodes out of my mind when I read this, though of course both of that image's feet were on land, on either side of the harbor entrance. But this is no lifeless, though impressive, statue. This, if we are correct in reading the angel as Christ himself, this is the ever-living one who had been given a universal dominion, who rules the earth and the sea. Indeed, we know from the Holy Gospels how his very voice can still the waves and how he can walk on the sea as though it were dry land. See Mark 4:35 and following, or John 6, verse 16 and following. This is the Lord who tells us in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. His writ, therefore, runs across the face of the entire earth. Verse 3, and he called out with a loud voice, like a lion roaring. Now, in the previous visions, the lion had been associated with our adversary, the devil, who prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5. But here, it's the voice of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which voice, of course, comes trumpeting out of the pages of the New Testament writings. Verse 3 continues, when he called out, the 7 thunders sounded. Victorinus of Patovium, one of our earliest commentators on Revelation, who died about 304 AD, he thinks that the 7 thunders is just another way of saying the 7 angels before the throne of God. Possibly, but I think leaving these thunders as a question mark fits better with what happens next. Verse 4. And when the 7 thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the 7 thunders have said, and do not write it down. This reminds me very much of St. Paul's description of his own experience in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 to 4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. You see? St. Paul, like St. John, was given this mystical experience where he heard things he is not allowed to relate. So St. John's pen is halted as he's about to write the words of the seven thunders down. And that's a good reminder of the truth Moses sang in Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Neither the Old Testament, even when unlocked by the Lamb of God, nor his New Testament actually answer all the questions human curiosity may raise, not by a long shot. Instead, these writings reveal everything God wants you to know and to believe for your salvation. And so, being a Christian, being a person devoted to the Word of God, it's never meant having all the answers. It does mean having a true answer to the question of the jailer in Philippi, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the answer to that brings a joy that lasts, and that no amount of the sorrows and tribulations and horrors of this age has any power to wipe out. And at that awkward spot, we're going to call our halt for today, people loved by God. Next, that angel whom we saw, whom we took to be the Lord Jesus, will raise his right hand to heaven and take an oath by his Father, that is, by the one who lives forever and ever, the creator of heaven and earth and all things, as well as the sea, and declare that the time of delay is over. In the days, note the plural, the days that the seventh trumpet sounds, did you forget we'd only heard six trumpets so far? The mystery of God, his great secret, will be fulfilled, just as all the prophets since the beginning of the world have foretold to us. No, the world really does not go on forever. It really does have an end, and the sufferings of God's people have an end. John is next instructed to take the scroll from the angel and to, eat it, which he proceeds to do. And he finds it exactly as the voice from heaven had said, sweet as honey in the mouth, but leaving him with a bit of an upset tummy. And as a result of having devoured the little scroll, John was sent back again to prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings, which of course is fulfilled in our very hearing as we listen to John's words that put the crown on the New Testament witness to the Lamb. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.